Coming to you live from Central Texas, it's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson.
All right, y'all. All right. Good afternoon and a happy Wednesday to you. Is it Wednesday? Oh, I guess it is Wednesday, huh? Sometimes I just lose track of days myself. Hey, good afternoon to you and welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And today, once again, we have another great show planned for you. I see I already have some individuals in the chat room. Welcome, welcome, and thank you for joining me today. And today we have a great conversation slated for you. And we're going to be talking about why do black women find it so hard to date outside of their race. Interesting conversation and interesting subject, and we're going to get to that. Believe you me, I know some of you out there just waiting and just can't wait to get started on that conversation. But you know what? Sometimes in the run of a day, in between shows, things come up. And that happens overnight in the news. And sometimes I just feel like I have to discuss these things because I find them kind of strange. So before we go ahead and get started on our topic, believe you me, we're going to get to the topic. I guarantee that. But right now what we're going to talk about is what's going on overseas, y'all, in Libya and Egypt. You know, we need to talk about that because, it's really kind of strange. It's really kind of strange how, you know, sometimes we just, how can I put it? We just irritate folk, you know, agitate people. Why? Why? I don't know. Now, supposedly there's a film out. Now, this film has only been shown in entirety one time. One time now. However, the right people saw it, and you know, they happen to be Arabs, you know, Muslims. Now, I'm not saying nothing bad about Muslims, man. Let's get that right. But anyway, it's supposedly this film that depicts the Muslim prophet Muhammad as being a homosexual who endorses extramarital sex and is a child molester, basically, like children. You know, and that's what started all that rioting overseas. Now, this film was made by a 52-year-old real estate developer. You know, and he's not hiding it. He says he wrote it, he produced it, he directed it, and he wanted to depict, he wanted to show Islam as a hateful religion. That's right. Those are his words, y'all. Those are his words. You know, and he did a telephone interview, and this is exactly what he said. Islam is a cancer, he said in a telephone interview from his home. The movie is a political movie. It is not a religious movie. How the heck did he think it wasn't going to be considered religious? Huh? And then you have that nutcase down in Florida, Terry Jones. Y'all know who that is, right? The guy that was burning copy of Islam's holy book, the Quran, in 2011. You know, so he's up there. You know, he's backing it, you know, co-signing, as we say. He's co-signing the whole thing. What in the heck is going on? Huh? What is going on? Now, and here's my problem with this. Now, you have this idiot that's showing this film like you, and on anything, the internet? Come on now. The internet. So now you showing this film, you done got the whole Arab world up in an uproar. But yet, nobody's trying to do anything to him, right? But yet, you got this Navy SEAL that wrote a book on how, you know, their mission with when they killed Osama bin Laden, and you're trying to take him to court, you know, and stop him from doing anything. Is it just me or do anybody notice there's a double standard here? Which one is more important? It's a book. Okay. You know, so if this guy can do this movie and nothing happens to him, why are you messing with that Navy SEAL? I'm not understanding this. This is just one of those crazy things. It really is. You know, now, of course, you know, like always, the machine going, well, you know, it could have been a diversion, you know, by Al-Qaeda to exact revenge on the U.S. for the killing of Osama bin Laden. You know, and they just used the riots and stuff as a diversion. Now we're making excuses for it, right? Is it me or does anyone else see there's something wrong with that picture somewhere? I mean, are we really paying attention? Or are we just sitting here with our eyes closed once again? Or does it even matter to you? No, you know, it's not going on in the U.S., so why we need to worry about it, right? I don't agree with that. That's wrong. That's just downright wrong. You know, now three people have lost their lives because this idiot want to make a film. Wow. But now he's in hiding. Go imagine that. He's hiding. Why are you hiding? If you so bold enough to make this film and make this grand statement, why are you hiding? Be man enough, damn it, to stand up and take what's coming to you. But no, you make it. You say you make it. You made it. And then you want to go and hide. That is just downright raggedy. That's what that is, raggedy. Now, what we need to do is go and find this cat and make him stand up. Take him over there and take him, give him to the Arabs, damn it. That's what I'm saying. Give him to the Arabs. Since you want to go out and make this bold statement, stay there and defend what you did. Don't go hiding. Why are you going to go hide? That's a coward way of doing things. I'm sorry, I just had to get that off my chest because that's really something that's crazy. Something that you know is going to not just, it's not like America where, you know, everybody's just going to write a story about it. Heck no. You have enraged the whole Arab community overseas. So now we have to, and know what he said, y'all? He said he thinks the problem was that the security in the embassy wasn't good enough. Are you kidding me? It was fine until you decided to show that old ragged-ass film you decided to shoot. So now you got every American over there in the region in danger because you decided to put your little intake on what you think is going on with Muslim prophet Muhammad. Once again, I think we kind of back us in some things. I'm just telling y'all. That's all I'm saying. Okay? Now, if you agree with me, that's fine. If you don't, I understand, too. But I just had to get that off my mind, off my head there. No, because I think that is just crazy. Then you have the goal to go and hide. You have to go and hide. Why? Just another great tradition, right? Do something, throw the rocks and go and hide, right? And whatever falls after that just falls. I'm just saying, y'all. Now, I'm really trying to get over that, y'all, because that really irritated me last night as I was watching the news and carrying on. You know, and so I had to go and look at it and see what was going on. You know, yeah, everybody is saying, well, you know, that's not the right, and we believe in freedom of religion and so forth and so on. Yeah, sure you do. But apparently nobody's doing anything to this guy besides letting him hide. Okay. I'm off the soapbox with that, y'all, okay? But if you want to say you want to get your two cents on it, let me know. You know, it's Let's Talk, so we can talk about anything. If you want to join in the conversation today, you can dial in at 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or you can join me in my chat room. Just sign into your social media site, log in, and join me in our chat room. Or if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's DrivenForLife62. All right? And spell out the word for F-O-R, not the number. All right. Now, take a deep breath, and let's get on to the topic of the day. The topic of the day is, why do black women find it hard to date outside of their race? Now, believe you me, y'all, when I thought of this, you know, I had to go and ask some questions. And, man, did I get bombarded with some things because I decided to say to ask this one little question right here. So, ladies, if you're out there, you know, today is your floor. I want to know, do you really find it hard to date outside the race? Because I really want to know. And if so, why? If not, why you don't find it so hard? I'm just curious. Now, I think a lot of people are curious about that today. And you know what? I'm going to be so bold and so equal-minded today. I'm going to include that to the guys, too. Fellas, you out there? Do you find it hard to date outside the race? Or is it easier for you than it is the women? Woo! Now, look. Here we go. Now, being a man, I'm going to tell you. Now, personally, I haven't done it. But I have talked to some individuals that have actually dated outside the race. And as far as the men, this is what they say. The politically correct term that they use is everybody deserves to be loved. Everybody deserves to have somebody special. Right? I mean, that's the politically correct way to say it. Now, I'm going to tell you in street terms what really goes on. Most black men that date outside the race, first thing they will tell you is a white woman is less confrontational than a black woman. Now, don't get upset at me because I said that now, because that's what I'm being told. And I'm saying, you know, there's less, from lack of a better word, nagging. You know, I guess they're more lenient than white women are more lenient than black women. I don't know. That's what I've been told. I personally have no idea. I really don't. But that's why I'm asking y'all today. That's why I'm asking y'all. Because I want to know what you think. I really do. Because I really want to know. 770, I see you out there. Thank you for joining me. Hey, if you want to join in the conversation, you know what to do. Hit number one, and we can get going. But women, why? Why do you find it so hard? No, now, I asked a couple of other women what happened, and they told me directly, that's not true. It's not that you find it hard, you just choose not to, because of your loyalty to black men. That's a good point, too. Now, you know, doing a little search, do you know it's 27 men to every 100 women? That is sure black men. Now, we talking about black men. Don't you know that's a lot? And you know why it's so little? Because you have the ones that's incarcerated, the ones that's on the down low, the ones that just straight out gay. And just so that kind of limits the I guess that limits the possibilities that you can have, right, as far as black men. So you decide, okay, well, is that the case then? You can go ahead and step out the race and, you know, marry outside the race or date outside the race. Interesting. I mean, is that the reason why? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there now. But however, let's think about this thing. Now, or is there another reason, as in, you know, the white men have more money? They have more connections. Let's go on and get real with this. You know, some of you just don't think a black man can handle a successful black woman, so you go on and cross the street and go on to the other side. Would that be a legitimate reason why you do it? Once again, I'm not trying to start that. I'm just trying to find out some information. Boy, I was waiting on this one. You know what I mean? You know, I'm just curious about these things because I really want to know what's going on. I know somebody going to enlighten me here today. I'm just waiting. I see we have a caller, so let me take this call here. Come on, get there. Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, Eric. How are you?
I'm just doing fine, Mr. Solution. How are you today? Missed you yesterday.
Very good. Yeah, I had a little bit to take care of yesterday. Hey, look here. I just want to drop in for a moment, and I'll be listening to you.
Okay.
This is a good subject, and just to lay a foundation, you've said some things that were quite incorrect, and they were very unbalanced. Deal with you're talking about black men, for example, in prison. You say they're on the down low, and when you mention this, First of all, there's a book by, what's his name, Jimmy Israel, and it's called The Denzel Principle. I would suggest you get his book and read his book because he points out, and I think accurately so, for every negative that you could think of to attach to black men, you also have that to attach to black women. Now, I never hear you mention lesbians. I never hear you mention women in prison or women that are felons. And by the way, even though there are more men in prison than women, because we hold men to a harsher standard, the rate of women prisoners is increasing substantially above that of men. You can read about that in Wikipedia or even go to the crime stats, the FBI crime stats, or just look up incarcerated women.
Okay.
So what you're doing is you're not comparing apples to apples. And whenever you talk about there are so many how did you say it? Because people say it different ways. Sometimes they talk about there are so many women available or, you know, so many women per man, and sometimes they reverse it. So I think you reversed it and then you re-reversed it. So which one were you actually saying?
Okay. Well, I was saying for every – okay, I see what you're saying now. For every 100 available women, there's only 27 men out there for them.
Oh, okay. So you're saying there are insufficient men.
Right, right.
Insufficient numbers of men.
Correct.
All right. That's not the way you really want to look at that. What I would encourage you to do is go to any place where men and women congregate and watch the behavior of the men and women. I think you and I have spoken of this numerous times, and Joe made a very profound statement. That was ultimately that had ultimate profundity, where he told the women to get lost. That was classical, because that's what men have to do toward most women. And remember also, numbers don't mean a damn thing if you don't have the quality. Remember Joe's position, and he was liberal on one day, where he said that 95% of women don't make good girlfriend or good wife material. Do you recall that?
Yes, I remember that.
Actually, remember most that. Guys who know women, now I study women, I study society, period, from a sociological and an anthropological vantage point, but there are men who have more personal experience than I do, and this is a judgment call by listening to them, and all of them peg it in the 90th percentile of women who don't make good wives or good girlfriend material. Now, that is what you call a constant right now. I hope it's more of a variable as we teach, that is, more women change their behavior and become good girlfriend and good wife material. But you've got to understand that's the foundation that you're dealing with. Feminism told women you deserve everything, but you deserve to give nothing. And that's the way most women are. And you saw the difficulty with, I was on a show last night dealing with this very issue, introductory behavior on the part of men and women, and where women choose not to take part in introducing themselves. Well, that's a third of the way you meet. And then if you look at the fact that their resistance to male approach, that becomes two-thirds. And if you don't introduce people vis-a-vis what I call referral, you just kill yourself with respect to meeting new people. You've cut off all the avenues to meet people. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I'm following you. I'm right there with you.
Those are what you call anchor points. And those points must be kept in mind unless they're wrong. Now, if you prove them wrong, obviously you can leave them behind. But if those points are correct, if 95% of women don't make good girlfriend or good wife material, it's moot to go on discussing the issue when that hasn't been dealt with, because that's a jurisdictional and a foundational issue. But those are just some of the things that I wanted to, you know, give you corrective material, because I do understand that you're pretty open-minded, which most people are not, and therefore they can't grow. But those are very, very important points that you should remember. For every negative that you point out toward men, you also have women that meet and exceed those negatives. Do you follow me?
I follow you.
All right. Now, additionally, this is the point. Dr. John Gray pointed out that men care more about women than women care about men. That is significant. And it was significant that he said that. Strange men are willing to do more for women than women are willing to do for men. For example, they're willing to risk rejection, to open conversation, even with a bad woman, because they don't know what kind of woman she is. But if 90% of women don't make good girlfriend or good wife material, and I'm not saying women are horrible creatures, they're just not good to be in relationships with. And that's why many men are saying very poignantly, women are, they first of all, they point out the legal systems, the legal ramifications of getting married to a woman. They don't want to go through that hassle, being stripped of their wealth and this sort of thing. Maybe you've heard of Joe Neckbone, who got married and got a divorce. Maybe you laugh. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Got married, got divorced, just give it to you briefly. He's in, lives in Tennessee, and his former wife took him to court, and she was able to get lifetime alimony for as long as she lives. Not as long as he lives, as long as she lives. What do I mean by that? Even if he dies, the court made him purchase an insurance policy. In other words, an alimony insurance policy that would ensure that this woman receives $1,000 a month, and they probably got what they call inflation adjustment, because it sounds like she had a good lawyer raping his ass. And he's a good man, by the way, and I encourage him to fight that with his last dying breath. And he should have fought that to get it overturned, because that's outrageous. But if you understand the gist of it, you see how the reservations that a lot of young men have is very, very warranted. And the thing of it is, if you make enough money, if a man earns enough money to be comfortable, I'm not talking about a mega millionaire, but if he earns enough money to be comfortable,
right,
and then he gets a divorce, he will be destroyed. You follow me? With attorney fees and this sort of thing, and then judgments and this sort of thing, this will destroy him. He'll have to end up living in a one-bedroom apartment or moving back in with mom. So men have actual, I would say, substantial reasons for not wanting to get married vis-a-vis a state marriage license. Now, there are other means they can take, obviously, but getting back to the subject, all of this is interrelated, but I just wanted to brief you on some of the points that probably won't be brought out with respect to this sort of discussion. Now, just to get back to the point at hand, is why it's so hard for black women to date outside of their race. I just noted three things, actually four. Other races have their own women, and if you follow me on this, it's a very practical thing. If any other group of men were to put more emphasis on other women, any other women, than their race of women, they would have to answer to their women, their mothers, their aunts, their sisters, so on and so forth. And rightly so, by the way. Rightly so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you follow that?
I'm following you.
That's number. That's way up there at number one. The other is what's called the exchange theory. This was popularized in an article. I just looked it up for you. It's called, and it was dealing with this very subject. It says, "Marriage Eludes High-Achieving Black Women." This was an article back in August of 2009. And it dealt with Michelle Obama and, of course, the White House. And a lot of articles have come out as a result of the seeming ironclad relationship that you know, this particular first family has, this black man and black woman. And it's a wonderful relationship. I like them both from a married couple standpoint and from a just a personal standpoint. I think they're a beautiful couple, beautiful family. But this has spawned a lot of articles and discussions. And one of the points that was brought up in this article was that of the exchange theory. Now, just and that was developed, I think, back in 1981. What the exchange theory deals with, basically, is it deals with the baskets of goods that one brings to the relationship table, as it were, personality, whether or not you're interesting, you know, what background you come from. It has something to do with your education. Although women are more into hypergamy than men are, in other words, trying to marry up. If a man finds a woman that is nice to him, that is supportive, respectful, and available, he will marry a woman lesser than he is. Now, talking about a woman being more than a man, I reject that attitude because most men, women are not equal to men from a social and legal standpoint. Like I told you before, women are subsidized by the government. I think women could be equal to men, but currently they're not because they're given subsidies. For example, they don't have to register for the Selective Service. That's huge, Eric. That is huge because that has to do with one's obligation to their country. And the president pointed that out, by the way. But again, the exchange theory deals with the basket of goods that a man or a woman brings to the relationship table. And black women, are, as it points out in this article, are not valued by other men. When you look at the women they have access to, particularly their women, why would they go for a black woman? I mean, it just wouldn't make sense. And I understand their position. Additionally, when you look at the personality of black women, and other people see this, by the way, the non-activity and the unaccountability that many black women portray, the drama, as it were, men just don't want that. Men vote with their feet. And why should they take on a project, a problem? And so that's another reason, the personality and the inactivity of women. If other women, if other men look at black women and they say, well, hey, they aren't getting along with their own men. And they don't buy this bullshit argument, by the way, that it's the men. Because they know that the women raise the men. They do a little bit of a background check, just a quick mental calculation, and they don't buy this bullshit that the men are bad. They know better than that. In other words, they've peeped out the scene. Additionally, you have the negative hype. I know it came out maybe a couple of years ago that 48% of black women, this was from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. You've heard of them out of Atlanta, correct?
Of course.
Yeah, the CDC pointed out that 48% of black women, that's roughly one out of two, have incurable herpes virus, the genital herpes, or have genital herpes. And this is between the ages of 14 and 49.
Wow.
And you can check that out on the CDC website. So when you put all of that together, who you going to choose?
Now, see,
you're not going to choose. Why should you buy a basket of problems? That's the point. Why should a man buy a basket of problems?
All right. Now, see, once again, Mr. Solution, you done put it out there. You have put it out there. Wow. And you have made some great points. Why? And that's what I was saying. You know, why? You know, from what I've spoken to some guys, and basically what you just said is what they tell me all the time. You know, and to put it in your words, why buy a basket of problems? You know, wow. All right, ladies. All right, ladies, that we done heard from them from one perspective. I'm waiting for y'all to give me y'all perspective of what's going on out there. You know, Mr. Solution, he done put it out there. So we got any rebuttals or anything you want to add? Come on, y'all. Come on. Well, Mr. Solution, okay. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I look back, the line done lit up. Hold on. Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Okay. I've heard his answer to the question of men not wanting to pick up a bag of problems.
Uh-huh.
Now, my reply to that would be, you think women cause these problems on their own? We get help from you. Most problems, most baggage women have come from men, black men mostly, whether it be the boyfriend or the father. The relationship was strained from the beginning, so how is that necessarily our fault? We don't just get herpes and all these other hang-ups just with ourselves. I think it's a 50-50 thing. Women are taking on a lot of problems from men and their relationship problems and their history and baggage themselves. So it's not just us. If you want to just put it out there like that, let's be serious. I don't want to deal with your baby mama problem. I don't want to be looked at as your girl and rather than your woman. A lot of men don't look at women and treat women the correct way. See, it comes from, let's go to the beginning.
Okay.
Women have to breed men, right? So the first woman, a man has to answer to is his mama. But every man at some point gets to the point where he don't want to answer to a woman. So now I got to get away from this woman. I got to do this and I got to do that because I have to do so much for my mama. A lot of men think like this. Don't get me wrong, there are a lot of men that love and take care of their mother. But I'm talking about the percentage that feel like they don't want to have to answer to a woman. Then you grow up, most men want to be player, pimps, and all these other things, which all of those mistreat women. I don't want to get cheated on, and I'm going to stay faithful to you, but you want to cheat on me and the other three girls that's out there in the world.
Hmm.
I look that equally in the workforce. I might be smarter than you. I might be better at my job, but just because you're a man, you'll get it. So that's another hang-up. That's another problem I got now. Then we get married, you can't let go of your childlike ways and attach yourself to your woman. How did that Bible verse go? You have to leave home and, what's the word they use? And you have to, when you was a child, you spoke and walked like a child, but as a man, you should act like one and walk, talk, and be a man. Most black men don't progress to that level, even at a professional level. We don't just have these problems because we want these problems. We have a lot of problems because you force a lot of problems on us.
Oh, okay. So, you okay. Very interesting. Mr. Solution, rebuttal?
What the lady, and I appreciate her response, but what she is not cognizant or aware of is the facts. A very, very huge fact, and that is the women choose the men whom they're with. You've heard the adage, good guys finish last. You heard that, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what do you think that means? Dissect that for a moment. Good guys finish last. What does that mean?
Ooh, basically what
that
mean?
Is that rhetorical? You want to answer?
Excuse me?
Is that rhetorical, or do you really want to answer?
No. That's actual. I'm asking you to answer. What does that mean?
To my understanding, nice guys finish last. Is good guys never get treated well by women.
Okay. Now, does that give you a little bit of enlightenment as to why women are treated the way they are by the men whom they select?
But can't we agree that both sides treat each other wrong? It's not just a one-sided hand. One hand got to watch the other.
No. Please follow this, because this is not a math problem. This is a real problem. If women choose the men that treat them badly, whose fault is that?
Correct. But let's flip that. Let's inverse this real problem then.
If a man chose a bad woman, then that's his fault just as much as the woman. Wait a minute. Eric, you want to intervene and give your opinion on this? If a woman chooses men, and especially if she does it repeatedly, that treat her badly, whose fault is that?
Well, from my previous shows, that's the woman's fault, because she has a habit of choosing the wrong men.
Well, if you go in the store and buy something and you come out and it's not what you want, who do you blame for that?
Yourself.
I think so. You notice women generally never want to take accountability. They never want to be responsible for their own actions. If a good guy approaches you and you turn him down for Satan or Dracula, and you do that repeatedly, whose fault is that? That's just like you pick up a rattlesnake and say, oh, be nice, I picked you up, and the snake bites you. Whose fault is that?
But how is that our fault
when you just as well chose the woman as the woman chose you? If a good guy picks a bad woman, that's just as much as his fault.
I'm a man. Please allow me to explain something to you. You can go away from this conversation better than you came. It's up to you. What I'm saying to you, from a standpoint of empowerment, I don't know you from Adam, but I'm trying to connect with you in a very loving and actual and intellectual way. And if you, as an adult, we tell little kids to look both ways before they cross the street. In other words, we're telling them to be accountable, be responsible. And if we can't say that to an adult woman, if she doesn't take any responsibility, there's no help for her. She just has to go headlong into her own corruption. We're simply saying, you make the choice. Now, I encourage women to do more initiating so they can get to know men. Women make chronically bad choices in men. They make chronically and repetitively bad choices. They never want to stop and do any bit of objective introspection, that self-examination, so that they can see the error of their ways. I'm speaking to you like a great father, an advisor, a mentor, a collaborator. Do you want it?
Hello, you there?
I'm here. I'm just want to make sure he gets his point across. He say what
okay.
he can say, and I can reply.
Okay.
Now, if you're done, I will give you my rebuttal.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I totally understand what you're saying. I do understand. I feel what you're saying. But this is the opinion that I'm trying to give to you. This is just the thoughts that run around in my head. Now, nice guys finish last, right? But good women are hard to find. Nice guys finish last. Good women are hard to find. Let's try this another way. All men like hoes. They like what they see physically. This is my opinion. I feel like most men just like what they see. A man won't stop to get to know me mentally. He will pass me by because I'm not the average chick. I'm not the average woman. I don't walk around with my breasts out and my butt all out, wearing Daisy Duke shorts that are two sizes too small. But I will get past that, although I am a good woman. I am a very good woman. I think I am wife material. I think I am definitely wife material.
All right, let's deal with that a minute.
Hold on. I'll let you finish. Let me. But how am I supposed to find a man, a good man, if all men are only looking at me physically and not looking at me to be mental? I am your match in every single way, but you will never know that because you don't get to know me. Now, a nice guy can easily find him a good woman, but is that nice guy looking for a good woman, or is he looking for a good time? Everything you said is very true, but I feel like you're only looking at it from one perspective as a man's side, which is your opinion. You are allowed to have it. I respect you for that. But it's just as much as my fault if I choose you and you are a bad guy, and if you choose me and I'm a bad woman, we are both at fault. Because we are both looking for the wrong things. But in a sense, we ended up getting what we wanted. We got a physical and not a mental. We got a physical aspect of each other, then a spiritual. Let's not even take it to a mental. Let's be spiritually equally yoked in our relationship. But if both of us are looking for the wrong thing, we're not going to find the right person. I just want it to be more blame on both of us than just one person. I don't think that's fair to say that women are just not picking the right men. Men are not picking the right women.
All right, let me answer that. Tell me when you're finished, because I can't tell, because I want to answer you definitively with something you can do today to change your paradigm.
Well, I want to let Joe get in on this conversation as well. He's on the line waiting, so I got to get Joe in on this. Hey, Joe, you there?
Hey, Joe. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Joe. What's happening, man?
Not much. I'm enjoying the conversation. I got here about 3 minutes ago. I'm not going to lob any salvos. I'm going to just sit back and listen because I have a feeling what you're going to say. So, Eric, you don't have to worry. Please don't mute me because I might want to join in later. But I'll just let me be a spectator for this because this is going to be fun.
All right. All righty, then. Well, continue on then.
All right. What's the lady's name? What's your name, ma'am?
Miss Lewis.
I'm sorry. Did you hear
Ms.
that,
Lewis.
Eric? What's her name?
Miss Lewis.
Oh, yes, Miss Lewis. Yes, yes, yes. Now, you said that men pass you by. Let's get this very, very correctly understood. What are you doing to let men know that you, Miss Lewis, are available for a healthy relationship?
What do I do? I guess if a man approaches me and asks me, that can be easily said that yes, I am single. I mean, how
okay,
do you?
No.
I'm having a hard time answering the question because I'm not sure how to.
All right, I'll help you with it. You're with the right guy right now. I'm going to ask.
Can you give me an example so I can help answer this a little better for you?
Hey, I sure will. What I'm asking you is, what are you, Miss Lewis, what are you doing personally to let men know that you are available for a healthy relationship? What are you doing?
I mean, you really just sound like you repeated the question.
Can I jump in?
I don't understand.
Okay, Miss Lewis, let me put it this way. If
this
you,
question,
if you,
Eric, I want you to hear this because she made some points. I'm answering her. Look, ma'am, anything one gets that's worthwhile, if you want an education, you don't wait for the college to call you. You look up colleges that fit your particular personality and educational desires. If you want a job, you research the firms that you want to work for. If you want to start a business, you do your due diligence. You draw up a business plan. Everything that you want that's worthwhile, the person, the intelligent person, does something proactively to make that happen. And I'm simply asking, if you want something from the grocery store, you go to the store, and hopefully you purchase it. So I'm asking you, toward men, what do you do to let men know that you are available?
Okay. Now I can better answer your question. I got to understand it. Thank you. Now, I have no problem approaching a man, asking him who he is, or get to know a little bit about him, and seeing if, you know, I like him. I don't just run up to every man I see. Let me be very specific and understanding about that and clear. I don't just run up to any man and every man.
Okay, you're finished?
No, I'm trying to give you, I'm trying to answer your question.
Sure.
But I want to use the right words.
Sure.
I will observe before I just jump out. Most guys that I date, I know them. I wouldn't say I know them like I know your mom and all these things, but I know enough of them. I have friends that know them or something. I have some understanding of who they are before I just jump and ask someone. But I am observant at first, and then I may approach, get to see what I like, what I don't like. Like you said, college campuses, I got to see if I like the college before I even decide to put in an application there.
Yeah, you do some research. How often do you approach men? How often do you engage in this necessary social activity? Say on a monthly basis, how many men will you approach?
Oh, I'll probably approach one or two men, maybe three to so much. I'm very slow in particular.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get that. You broke up. Please repeat.
I'm sorry, I said maybe one or two guys I may approach between a three-month period. I'm very particular and slow in whom I pick or want to choose to be a little more personal with.
Okay, let me ask you another question, a relevant question. How often do you exercise? You do believe that exercise is very good, right? It's good, it's healthy.
Yeah.
How often do you
exercise? I exercise every day. I'm very athletic.
Every day, right. I would suggest that your approaching men is too infrequent. You need to approach more men to increase your male IQ and also to increase the available pool of men, because selecting a mate ultimately deals with the law of averages, the number of people that you interact with, and obviously you're going to get some input from friends. If you have healthy friends, they're going to introduce you to people. And some men will introduce themselves to you. The problem with most black women, and I brought this up earlier, or women, period.
Yeah,
but certainly
white women,
black,
too. Mm.
Excuse me?
White women, too.
Well, yeah, it's all women, because we live in America here. So this disease affects all women, where they have this narcissistic, insular, selfish attitude that
the man
is required to do all the giving to them. See, when a man approaches you, he's giving to you. He's giving you an opportunity, maybe sometimes the opportunity of your life. But because often women are so selfish and they're never challenged by anybody, this is very sad. And you can tell me if this is true. If anyone else has ever had this type of conversation with you to focus on your necessary behavior, necessary and appropriate behavior. Has anyone done this with you before?
Not really.
That's
to be honest
my
with
point.
You, everything you just said, I don't fall into that category.
Well, you don't fall into which category?
I don't fall into any of them, honestly.
Okay,
I don't fall into which category.
I was speaking of the category of you being social with men. You say you want a relationship.
Is
that correct?
I am very social with men.
You want a healthy relationship with a man, with a good man?
Yes, but I'm very vocal with men. I have a lot of male friends.
Okay, well, maybe that's a problem, too. You can't be too vocal, because good men don't like a lot of opposition coming from a woman, because no one wants to live in hell.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I knew I was going to enjoy myself.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Hey, Joe, I'm passing the baton.
I don't know if Eric wants the baton.
Wait,
pass to me, because I get a little bit more. I'm not as calm as you. And
But wait a minute. Mrs. Lucian, she has a question for you.
Okay.
I mean...
And you're doing just fine.
to me, it sounds like to me... You're blaming everything on women. No. I want to look at this as an equal opportunist kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, but you're missing
this
the
is
point,
just how,
Ms.
Hold
Lewis.
On, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. I just feel like you're making this about, well, the women don't do this. Well, if a woman don't kiss my foot, I can't marry. If a woman don't bow down and let me do this and that, that's what it sounds like. This may not be what you're saying, but this is what it sounds like to me.
Right. That's not what I'm saying at all.
Well, okay. But if I'm just saying this is what it sounds like, I understand this is not what you're saying, but this is not what you mean to intend for it to mean, but this is what it sounds like to me.
Right.
To
but what I'm telling you is you have to readjust your receptivity.
But you don't know me, though.
Well, if you're misunderstanding me, I know you to that degree.
I actually do understand, but my opinion is just different. It's just what it sounds like to me. I know.
Well, no, what I'm telling
you
to do is how to be effective with what you say you want, because you're unfamiliar with it, and it may cost you a little bit more than anything has cost you before. You may be a little bit uncomfortable with it. I understand that. You know, it's sort of like having to get a shot in order to get cured of some ailment. The shot may be a little bit painful. I understand that. But the point is, this is a necessary conversation that you should have had, and I'm pretty sure you're not too much over 25, but you should have had this conversation many, many years ago. See, women are allowed to be totally out of control and take no responsibility.
Wow.
Women love to say it goes both ways, but then, see, I pause and say, okay, what does it mean when it goes your way? And they don't want to discuss that. So they want to use that it goes both ways as a mere smokescreen to avoid any accountability or responsibility. But look here, I'm saying this for your benefit. You can do it if you want. I'm just simply saying to you, wait a minute, let me finish this thought. I'm simply saying to you what you've been doing has not worked. Now, you called in here, presumably, to get answers. To get answers, you have to be open.
Right.
I just told you I'm not saying this to be unbalanced or biased. I'm just putting the necessary emphasis and focus where it must be put.
And you sure said all that more diplomatically than I would have, so I'm glad you didn't that I didn't get the baton.
Well, this is my thing. Now, let's be honest. To first to say women should be more assertive. Let me ask you this. Are you saying women should be a little more assertive in picking a man instead of waiting for a man to approach her?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Are you saying a woman should be more assertive in going up to a man than for a man to be assertive in going to a woman?
Exactly. I'm simply saying that because
Hold on.
But wait a minute. I'm answering your question. Let me finish answering your question.
I just needed a yes or a no, because I just wanted to make sure that was yes so I can finish saying what I'm saying, because I hate to misquote you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, in part. Yes, in part, I'm saying that women need to be more assertive, and that's the word to use, assertive. That just means making your interests known. Not aggressive, assertive. So, yes, women need to be more assertive because they've asked for and gotten equal rights, and therefore they need to exercise the equal responsibility that goes along with those equal rights.
Okay. So, let's be, you know, I'm going to put this in a, you know, we're going to go National Geographic for a minute. Okay? So, males are males and females are females, right? I think, in my opinion, every human has an animalistic nature. Men are men, and women are women. Okay? A male, in sense of nature, are hunters. They hunt. They see something they want. That's going to be mine. They go after it and get it. Okay? Women, we are more stay-still kind of people, because we were never meant to just be hunters, unless in the case of lions. Women lions do all the hunting and men sit down. But in every other aspect, men hunt, bring it back for the woman. Okay? Now,
Let me know when you want me to answer that.
Now, you want me, as a woman, to approach you when, in all instincts, instinctively, deep down in your DNA, you are supposed to come to me, okay? Now, I don't understand how you want a woman to be like, well, I want him. Let me go up to him and see if he like me. Well, he don't like me. Let me go up to this one. See, after that, a woman gets a brand of being hoish. Now, that's another brand that a man will put on her quickly because the homeboy's done told you.
Well,
let me answer this now
because you're saying basically the same thing in different ways. First of all,
hold on. I let you speak. I let you take your hour in your speech when you said the same thing over and over. I'm trying to make my point. I'm so sorry if you thought it was done. I'm not done. Hold on. Now, how in the world can you just say it's a woman's thing to do this, it's a woman's thing to do this, it's a woman's thing to do that? You are not a woman. You don't know what was taught, what was given, what was not. Now, it's like I keep saying, I want you to be less chauvinistic and a little more emotional on your outlook. I really get what you're trying to say. But I don't think it's my job to have to do all that. It's not my job to have to do all that. God didn't make me to have to be this way to do all that. God made you to do your job and for me to do mine. Now you can answer.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're not to tell anybody what their job is. And if you're trying to meet someone, now if you don't want to meet someone, don't do it. If you do, well, then you will. And you might ask yourself, you've been doing it a certain way, how's that working out for you? Using that fake example of the animal kingdom, which I know animals very well, and first of all, would you want a man to approach you like an animal? Because it wouldn't be nice. I think what you need to do is confront your own fears and your own desire to be unaccountable. When you first meet a man, he doesn't know you, you don't know him. All you both owe each other is civility. That means being pleasant with each other. If you find, for whatever reason, things don't work out, you move on. This attitude of women that men owe them that, and talking about men are hunter-gatherers, that's just a crock, okay? Because the point of it is, even if a man is a hunter-gatherer, he's not your hunter-gatherer. And so you don't need to be usurping things that don't belong to you. So I think a woman such as yourself, and I like you, by the way, I think you have a decent personality. But what you need to do is be honest. You need to be honest about your own fear. Face your fear. And stop trying to shift off on men what you need to be accountable for. That would be my response to you.
Hmm. I can respect your opinion all day. I do.
Okay.
I think it's very good.
Okay.
I think it's actually the difference.
Okay. Well, while we got this pause, let me bring Pianki in. He on the line waiting also. I got the whole crew here today.
Hey, Pianki.
Hold on. Let me get him in.
This is kind of unusual. Pianki usually makes comments on economics and
Hey, Pianki,
and
you there?
Hey, Pianki.
Pianki, you there?
Yeah, Eric, I'm on the phone. I'll get right back with you.
Okay. All right.
Listen, you know what? I want to answer the initial question of the show. Why don't black women date outside their race? I'll be honest with you. Have I dated outside my race? No. Why? I just don't. To be honest with you, I've never eaten anything outside of vanilla ice cream, but that's just what I like. I only eat Snickers. I only eat M&M's. Why? I just do. I don't buy nothing else. But it's just what I like. I like what I like, and I just stick with it. To be honest with you, I can't see another man making me, what's the word I want to use? I can't see another race of man enticing me the way black men do. It's just something about it. Do I find white men attractive? Yes. I've always had a crush on the wrestler Triple H. I think Robin Thicke is sexy as can be. I like Enrique Iglesias and Ricky Martin. But I like Morris Chestnut over Ricky Martin any day. I just do.
Well, let me say this. If that woman, if this lady, Miss Lewis, did she say her name was?
Yes, Miss Lewis.
Yeah, if Miss Lewis likes men so much, and I understand, that's great, then she should have no problem just initiating communication with them, because all I'm talking about is basic civility, offering a salutation, hi, how are you, and then talking to them. You know, the thing is, and I think she, if she takes her own advice and opens her eyes to see the healthy communication that we're having, she's just a small step away. She's not far away. If she likes men as much as she says she does, or in this case black men, or any men, but in this case black men, she should have no reservations or compunctions about doing this simple thing, just being friendly toward a man. We're not saying walk up and she said she dressed appropriately, but we're not talking about doing anything inappropriate. We're just talking about making your availability known. And that is very reasonable and rational. Eric, let me just share this quickly. This deals with the exchange theory, so I want to make this very clear. And this is out of the article, Marriage Eludes High-Achieving Black Women. It's August 13, 2009. It says, but it may also be true that even highly educated black women who are willing and able to pursue a relationship with a man of another race won't have the opportunity. A sociological line of inquiry called exchange theory suggests that in the piggy bank of goods of each of us brings, it suggests that in the piggy bank of goods each of us brings to a possible relationship, money, smarts, sense of humor, looks, family background, education, gender, African heritage is devalued compared with European or Asian heritage. African American females, even with lots of education, do not fetch as much value in the marriage market. Close quote.
Okay. Wow. And you said that was August 2009, August 13th? I might have to look that up.
Well, to be quite honest with you, I thought I made it clear that I don't have a problem approaching guys. Like I said, I have a lot of male friends. I have a lot of male friends because a lot of guys that I observe realize that I like them, but then when I get to know them, there's no need for them to come outside the friend zone. I don't see a point in not getting to know anyone without that.
Can I step in here?
Sure, Joe.
Excuse me?
No, she's right. Finished, yeah.
All right. Okay, when you're finished.
No, I didn't hear what you said.
No, I just wanted to put in my piece and talk to you when you're finished. That's all.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's okay.
Okay. Are you having any problems getting a man?
Oh, no.
No problems whatsoever.
Well, you know what? Let me put it like this. I don't have a problem with meeting a man.
Mm-hmm.
I have what we call a low BS tolerance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in other words, if you were to go into a mall or a club, and let's say there were 100 men, how many of them would find you attractive?
In my opinion,
yeah.
How many men do I think I would attract?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, in my opinion, I'm going to attract them all. But if you want me to give a realistic standpoint,
I might attract
35%, but out of that 35%, only a 0.5% might actually make it on my list.
Okay.
Well, you know what, Joe, I mean, realistically, now, being that she's a woman, when she walks in the room, everybody's going to look at her first. Everybody's.
Yeah, but that's not my question, My question is how many people are going to look if somebody
enters the room. Am I the only woman in the mall?
I'm talking about, let's say you go to a club. How many, where do you go to meet men?
I don't go to clubs.
Okay. Where you go?
I might meet a few guys at the gym, at the court where I play, and where I go. I think a majority of the guys I run into probably are there. I've dated a few from the church, and I've dated a few that, to be honest with you, caught my eye, and I stopped and said hi.
Okay. The point I'm trying to get at is if there were 100 men in any kind of venue, how many of them would approach you, do you think? Any kind of venue, church, court, any place.
I told you, 35% are going to approach you.
35% would come over to you and start talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's not bad, 35. So, all right. So the problem is not getting into a conversation with someone, but actually trying to find the man who's right for you.
Right.
Okay. What do you think have been the problems on your part in having
problem,
a good relationship?
To be honest with you, my last relationship went 5 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I am 24 years old. Last guy I dated from the time I graduated high school till I was 21. Very deep relationship. But we were in two different parts of our lives. I was older than he was, much older, actually, than he was. So the biggest problem, like I said, was that we were in two different parts of our lives.
You know, let me rephrase the question then. How many people have you dated in the last year?
Oh, I haven't dated in three. I haven't actually dated in three.
Okay, you haven't dated in 3 years, but how many men have you met in, on the average, per year, who have talked to you that you know or feel that they have an interest in you, and if you said yes, that you would go out with them, that they would ask you, or if you said you were available, how many men during the course of an average year, normal year, would you say you could have had the opportunity to go out with?
One to two.
Two.
Two tops.
These are the men that were interested in you, or?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What?
How many men do you meet normally throughout a year?
Maybe 5 to 10 tops, 5, maybe 7.
Okay, is that including all the people that might approach you in the street, in the grocery store, on the court, at church, any place you go? You've only met about 5 to 7 men per year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What Rich is trying to say to you, and Rich, you can clarify this if I'm getting any of this wrong. What Rich is advising you to do is that since you're only meeting about 5 men a year, okay, it's for you to get the law of averages in your favor. If you're not being conversational with that many people, if not that many are approaching you, even though they might, then just be a little bit more assertive, and when you go to any place, if you know that a guy is single, and if he takes a look at you longer than a second or two, and if he gives you the signal that he likes you, that you can approach him. Is there anything wrong in that?
I guess not, but I'm just particular. I understand what you're saying, but I'm just particular.
So, in other words, the men that you've seen, you don't think are good-looking enough for you?
I don't even go on looks. That's not enough for
them.
Then
how do you know if you don't approach them and talk to them? If the man's looks are the first thing that you see, and you're only meeting 5 people a year, wouldn't it behoove you to try to meet more? And if more people aren't approaching you, or if you're standoffish, perhaps, then don't you think it might be better for you if you went up to men? But now you're saying you don't want to do that, and I'm saying not that many men are that attractive, and you're saying, well, it's not about looks. Well, it has to be about looks.
Okay, well, let me clarify for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just go off looks. I feel more of a education, a little more.
You don't know that unless you talk to the man.
But then I specified earlier that I take my time into getting to know who he is before I even approach him, or even acknowledge I have interest.
Okay.
Did we go over that earlier?
Okay, so of the people then that you're trying to weed through your particular filter,
how many of these people that you've approached, you've talked to, how many of them do you engage in conversation or some sort of social relationship with throughout the year?
Out of the 5 to 7, 3 of them may actually get through my basic filter, and probably only 1 to 2 meet a standard that I'm looking for. But you got to look at my age group, too.
Okay, which then goes back to the cycle again. If you're only going through 5 to get to 3 to get to 1 that you're rejecting, then don't you think it would be better if you socialize more?
But I do socialize.
Then,
the point I'm trying to make is I do these things. I am particular. I need a man.
You know what you do when you're making excuses?
Old.
Here's what the thing.
I'm not trying to make excuses.
The kid gloves are off. You're making excuses, okay? Going by your own statements, by the numbers, you're not making – you're saying – you're seeing people, some of them are okay, some of them not, but then you have to go according to how you feel when you talk to them. Are you talking to a lot? No, you're not. You're only talking to a few. So if you're only talking to 5 a year, that's only 1 every 6 months or so, I mean once every 2 months, then you have to talk to more people. But then you say, well, I can't do that because of the animal kingdom. You're making excuses. Because I'm not like Rich. Rich is diplomatic. I'm more blunt. If you want to meet people, meet them. If they're not coming up to you, there's a reason. If you're going, and let's say you're as attractive as you say you are, there shouldn't be any problem. You should be meeting a hell of a lot more than just 5 a year. Even if a lot of them are not your type, a certain percentage will be. So if they're not coming up to you, you've got to go up to them. Otherwise, you're making excuses. And that's why I don't want to take the baton before, because I lose patience.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for your patience. Very, very much.
No problem.
But I, myself, am particular. I'm
that's
picky.
Next. Yeah.
Am I ass? Probably am. But these are the things that I do because I don't want just anybody.
Because you don't
want to
be rejected. That's the whole thing.
I don't have a problem with being rejected. If I had a problem with being rejected, I wouldn't approach these men off bat.
You're not approaching anyone because you're only talking to 5 people a year. And they're not even strangers. You have to mix and match and then find somebody who apparently has to be comfortable with you, and you have to be comfortable with them. It's only 5.
How are you saying I don't like to approach them? If I'm approaching them too, you saying how many am I going up to a year?
That's what I said. How many?
Going up to 5 of them, maybe 1 or 2 might get in.
You're only talking to 5 people a year. That's once every 2 months, right?
But these are whom I'm choosing.
Well, then you got to choose more, don't you think? And then you say, well, I have to know them. You're not going to know who they are until you start talking to them. And if you're going to be wait
but
until you're in some sort of social relationship,
you
if you're going
to
wait until you're in some sort of social environment where you're then have to find out after talking to somebody for a week or two, it's going to take an extra long time. All Rich is saying, what I'm saying, is that if you want to meet people, just go up to them and find out if they're your type. If they're not good looking, that's one thing. But if they are, then go up to them. I personally feel, because I've heard this before from plenty of women, that you're scared of rejection, which is not exactly a fault, but it is a fault if you don't admit it to yourself. You can't say you talk to 5 people a year, and that's a good enough sample for you to know exactly that you're successful at something when you know you're not successful at it. And now, am I mischaracterizing what you're saying, Rich? I'm doing it my way, my own inimitable style, but am I mischaracterizing that?
No, I think that's a good – can you hear me?
Yeah.
No, I think that's great, Joe. In your succinctness, I think that is sublime. I think that
thanks.
Is hand advice to give her. And if she's open to hear it, she doesn't know what kind of man you are. This is a quality man speaking here, Miss Lewis. So if you really want to hear a man's advice who's not trying to get anything from you, but who's just sharing good information, good sage information, he has spoken the word.
I understand. I've been very receptive, I think.
Right. Well, you have. I agree with that. I mentioned that a moment ago. Well, see, a lot of women are hostile. Most men, especially quality men, do not want a hostile woman. That is a woman who constantly, everything he has to say, she always has to have the last word. She always has to try and counter everything he says. Joe, I don't know if you were finished. Go ahead. I don't mean to interrupt.
Well, I was finished, but I want to dovetail off what you've said. I do want to give kudos to Miss Lewis because she did not come back with defiance, and she didn't come back with, any kind of but. So, yeah, she has been receptive. The whole thing is that, if you really want to meet more people, just do it,
I feel you.
Okay.
That's right. And you've got to stop. See, women are of great value. Men are of great value. But you all have valued yourself in a superficial way. See, in other words, women want to be valued. Let me. You know how in pronouncing a word, if you put the emphasis on the wrong accent, then you mispronounce the word? Then women mispronounce their reality by putting the accent of life and their behavior in the wrong place. Like a woman will put the accent of interest in a man on him chasing her. That's foolhardy. Where she should put the accent is on their both making an effort to have communication and put the accent on the substance of the communication. Not on the wasted time. I don't want to chase a woman unless we're in a marathon. That's stupid. That's a waste of time chasing somebody. If you want to talk to me and I want to talk to you, my chasing you is stupid. And your eluding me is equally stupid. We should sit down and talk. Hello?
Ms. Lewis, you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah. Does that make sense? A guy wants to talk to you. You want to talk to him. And I'm using this in an extreme sense. You start running. And he starts running after you. No. That's stupid.
They're
playing a game. You guys need to say, hey, and it's good if you do it, Miss Lewis, if you walk up to a guy, because guys do this all the time, and since you don't have a neon sign on your head saying, I'm available for a relationship, guys don't know. And guys shouldn't have to be the ones to waste a whole lot of time with a female dud, okay? Females should let their genuine interests be known. There's nothing wrong with that and everything right with it. That doesn't give the man any special power over you because you're still in control.
Well, that's not what I mean when I say chase, when I want to be chased. That's not what I mean from it.
Well, what do you mean? What does that mean, chase? What does that mean?
Okay, when I have realized that I like a man to be in a relationship, I don't just jump right into a relationship. I want to really see where his head is at. Because I think a question that wasn't asked that I think should have been asked to me was, how often do I sleep with these men? Or have I slept with any of them?
Well, that's not my point. That can come later.
What I'm concerned about
is when you say a man is the hunter. See, you're giving mixed messages, and I'm not blaming you. I'm just simply pointing out things. You say a man is the hunter. Okay. What does that mean when a man is first meeting you? What hunting skills? Wait a minute. Let me finish the question. What hunting skills is he supposed to exercise? That's where the miscommunication is. You should be if you're interested in meeting a good man, just like Joe said, you have to be as engaged in introducing yourself to men as you want men to be engaged with you. Now, the other point is faith without works is dead.
Remember
that one. If you don't remember anything else, because a lot of black women claim to be Christians, but they defy that based on their behavior. Remember, your faith without your works is dead.
Okay, now let me answer you. What do hunters do? They observe their prey. They get to know who their prey is, and a prey is not going to just fall dead and say, oh, kill me, I'm here. It's never going to be like that. Now, when I say chase me, what I want to know is what are your true intentions and your real initial want for me is. That's what I want to know through the chase.
Defined in the chase, so, that's defined in the conversation.
But see, the conversation is the chase.
No,
Hold on. I'll let you speak later.
Explain.
Now, the chase is nothing but the going out, the whining and dining, getting to know somebody, going to the movies. What are your interests? Well, my interests are. That's what the chase is. That's before the relationship really comes up to par. That's the chase, the going out with a woman, finding out what a woman likes, the woman finding out what you like. Things like that are the chase. That's what I'm saying about the chase.
All right, well let me explain this to you. Have you finished?
I want you to get to know your prey. Find
out. Okay, I got you on that. I got you on that. My point is I would never take you out upon first meeting you, and I don't advise any man to do that. If you're interested to get to know a person, I would never take you out and wine and dine you. I would invite you to a coffee shop. I would invite you to a walking track. I would invite you to a park. And if you weren't interested enough in my personality, i.e. me, to accompany me to those places, then, you know, you could get lost. Because I understand you are about a game wherein you win based on selfishness. So that's what men need to start saying to women directly. And they would not waste a lot of time with deadbeat women. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. I actually do agree with you. But you're saying the same thing I'm saying. Before you make the kill, you take it back to your nest, which means you're actually thinking about being permanent with this to a sense. Okay? Now...
That's a bad analogy because prey is something that's...
Hold on. Slow your horses a little bit. Now, when you chase, once you get through the chase, of course, once the relationship gets there, all the extra stuff
comes. I love it when the
woman's
on top.
I agree exactly what you're saying, which your opinion, my opinion, we are different. But these may be some of the average mindsets of men and women. You know what I mean? But the difference of it is, like I say, I want to get to know who you are. I want to know more about you. I want to know these things, and you're going to send me through your filter just like I'm going to send you through mine.
Okay, my filter is to communicate with you, not to feed you. And number one, if you can't feed yourself, if a woman can't feed herself, that lets me know right there something is probably wrong with her.
Okay. Let me put it like this. Okay, the type of woman I am, I don't need you to have to take me out and all these things. That's not a need, but I'm just giving an example.
Yeah, but that's a bad example with a man like.
And I respect you on that one.
Thank you.
I respect you on that one. To me, I don't like going when I first meet somebody, taking me out to dinner and all that, because I feel like a man feels like if he takes me out to dinner, I have to take him home and do this. I don't personally like to do that. I like going bowling. Let's go bowling. I meet you at the bowling alley. We'll bowl. We'll talk. We'll chill. But
if I want to look at your ass, I'll take you to the bowling alley. But look here, what I really want to do, if I want to talk to you, I won't take you to a bowling alley. I will take you to a park where we can sit and converse. Not conversate, converse. I will take you to a coffee shop. If it's later on in the evening or if the weather is inclement, I will invite you to a coffee shop. Now, I'm talking about when you're first getting to know someone. And if you're not willing to go to those places, that shows me that you have ulterior motives of selfishness or of just, you know, being a pigeon trying to get a free meal.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense to me.
Well, you're a lady and a scholar.
Like I said, I agree with what you're saying. I feel what you're saying. I actually am saying this. I feel like I'm trying to say the same thing you are. I'm just trying to get you to understand that the type of woman I am, I agree with you. All women are not like that. I can say what some of the problem is. Yeah, a lot of women are looking at a financial bank statement then, like I said, to be equally yoked with a man and say, okay, since for me, I feel like me and you are good enough to be in a relationship, let's try this. Just like it's a man's choice whether he wants to spend the rest of his life with a woman. No woman's going to get in a relationship if she don't have the mindset of marriage as the next thing. But not even a but it kind of is. Anyway, what I'm saying is sometimes I feel like it's better to take that particular role than just jumping into anything. I don't like jumping into things. If I don't feel comfortable from the get-go, I feel like it's my respectable duty as a woman to leave. If I'm not feeling it, I shouldn't stay. And I shouldn't walk around and give you the wrong idea. If I don't have the intentions of wanting to spend time, real time, years with you, I don't see a point in trying to do a relationship. That's just, that's just my opinion. That's why I'm particular. I'm very particular in whomever or whatever I choose.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's just my opinion. To be honest with you, the next best step I honestly am looking for, that's why I'm so particular of a relationship, I want to be married. I want kids. I want to be married. I want that lifestyle. So I'm being very particular about whom I pick. At my age, I feel like I got plenty of time. I'm not 25 yet. I'm getting to know what I like, what I don't like. But until then, I have the right as a woman to say, I don't like this or I do like this. I want it or I don't.
Wow. Uh-oh. That's a great point. I like that. But here we call the king, what? Pianki, here we call the killing limit. Oh, okay. Okay, Pianki, yeah.
To be honest with you, I understand why men have the problems that they have out of women. I think a lot of black women are very combative. They've been fed this, I want to be independent, this independent, and I don't need a man to do this. I don't need you to do that. I do believe that is one problem of women of my age group. You know, me, myself, I don't have a problem of humbling myself to my man. Keyword, I didn't say boyfriend, to my man. If
right.
We're arguing, I got enough of a respect level to say, you know what, you're right. We don't even have to keep arguing about this. We can come back to this later. It's all good.
And let me say this. I say any woman who argues with the man is stupid because, first of all, she doesn't need to argue with the man at all. Men already like women, and it's up to you to choose a man that is the best fit for you. If you choose a man based on a negotiable and you treat it as a non-negotiable, again, that's your responsibility as an adult. When women talk about men, goodness is way down the scale. They will talk about a man that makes them laugh, a man that's exciting. All those things are temporal. They're temporary. They're ephemeral. They do not talk about a man being good. That is the reason the personality in men, which is that of Satan, which is just lying to a woman. If you listen to women talk about the men they have selected, you begin to see what women's tastes are. They like the man who is shallow and superficial. And then they like to get empathy from soft-headed people when they complain about the man. Eric, something I wanted to say to you was regarding the loyalty that women have. Independence is the opposite of loyalty. Tariq talks about
this. It is.
Woman
Amen
talks about
that.
She's independent, she's already claiming that she's not loyal. She may be ignorant of that, but that's what independence means, the opposite of loyalty. And I agree with him from a relationship standpoint. So these women who are talking about they're loyal to men, you watch the way they treat men in conversation. Now, if you notice Miss Lewis here, Miss Lewis has been respectful. She hasn't agreed with everything, but she has changed her mind on some things due to her listening. And
right.
She has exhibited heretofore, she has exhibited good communication skills. Because one of the things, just like you, women usually want a man who's taller than them. I was saying this at a party. And usually if I go to parties, you know, some people may come up to me once they find out what I do. And, you know, one of the first concerns they have is about relationships. So I said one night to a group of women, I said, you guys generally want a man who's taller than you physically. And I understand that. Why can't you understand that a man can also be taller than you in terms of intellectual development? Why can't he be taller than you in his understanding of various issues? See, you've got to understand that. And oftentimes, especially men who've taken care of business, they are smarter than women because they have more experience and more exposure. And that's why it's incumbent upon a quality woman to listen more than talk. Because, see, most women don't have to support what they say. They depend on other people to get them out of jams. I used to stop and help women that were, you know, stranded on the side of the road. I won't do that now. And I talk to other men who won't do that either. Now, maybe if it's an old woman, a visibly old woman, maybe. But if she's a younger woman, to hell with her. Let her dig her own way out of the hole. Because probably if she had done the right thing, she would have maintained her car or she would have the right guy who could help her out. So I just say, you know, I don't even think twice now. I'm just pointing that out. But, Eric, I think I've given you some good information that you can even check out as to why black women particularly they can't date outside their races. The other men are not going to have them. Now, are there exceptions? Ooh, of course there are. The exception makes the rule.
Uh-huh.
But generally, men don't want that burden. They don't want that problem. And I even tell black men, I wrote a treatise on our separation from the modern-day black woman. Because, see, she's subsidized by the government in corporate America, the government, you know, with government jobs and to a lesser extent in corporate America. So she really doesn't appreciate and respect the black man because she hasn't built anything with him. All other communities have a two-tier system of existence. They exist based upon their own businesses and also the interaction they have with the mainstream society. With the black community, I noticed Dr. Anderson makes the point that 98% of blacks on the eve of the Civil War worked for whites, and obviously that was vis-a-vis slavery, which was a horrible human injustice. But nevertheless,
right.
98% of blacks worked for whites. Today it's the same thing, okay? 98% of blacks still work for whites. And that's horrible in this age. So the black woman hasn't built a damn thing but a big argument. That's generally all she's worth. And I don't have to be there. Listen to the conversation between any men and women. The moment see, a lot of the men are pushed out. They've been raised by these feminist women for the last 40 years. But now, if you have a man who speaks up just marginally for accountability, he's shouted down by the pussy men and the out-of-control, loud-mouth women. Now, the point is, a quality man is standing back looking at these women. And you got a lot of thugged-out, what I call slick-mouth women. They always want to have the last word and try to put men down. But the point of it is nobody wants them, not Asian men, based on that exchange theory, and that is a fact. That is true. Now, black women won't make an effort with other men just as they don't make with their own men. They don't use the good men they already have. And, Eric, I want to correct you on this. And Jimmy Israel is very accurate on this point. There are about an equal number of available quality men and women if they would just behave appropriately. There are plenty of men. In fact, there are more good men out there, more good black men than black women. Why do I say that? Because the men are willing to do more for the women than the women are for the men. And this is upon first meeting. And what you are willing to do for a person is an indication of your care and concern. Does that make sense?
I understand that. I really do. Yep.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah, go ahead, Ms. Lewis.
Now, I agree. I do agree with you. I think that, like you said earlier, women are too combative. They have slick mouths. And so a woman, this is my thing I always share with my female friends. A woman will love a man and will defend him even if Ike Turner and beat her in the eye until he break up with her. Then he has a small manhood. Women want to belittle men and do all of this, but you was all for it when you was going through it. I think it's wrong that women are so as combative and all of these other hang-ups that they are. You know, women don't want, a woman has a problem with letting things go when they need to be let go. She got to have the last word. A woman is superficial. Most women are looking for money over substance. Most women are physical lookers before they even try to get to know anything. But I do agree with what you said about men taking that step and being, you know, I'm going to be a man about this and try to handle this the right way because of how I feel about her. Most women don't appreciate that. I, on the other hand, I do. I can appreciate you stepping up and doing the right thing because I myself will do the same exact thing for the man that I'm with. Mm-hmm. I'm very loyal. I'm a down chick. I really am. Oh. I'm willing to work through lies, cheating, and other kind of deceit if I really believe you are willing to change and make the effort to be better. I'm not thinking you're hitting me, though. But I myself don't understand why women, in a lot of sense, sell themselves short. A lot of black women my age feel like they are only worth what's between their legs, and there's so much more to that. Like I was trying to make the point earlier, I'll be honest, I haven't had sex in 3 years because I feel like I value myself more than just a need. I'm sorry, not a need, I'm sorry, a want. I value myself more than just a want. I have needs that need to be fulfilled first. I would like to see women be more of how, I guess, more Coretta Scott King than Nicki Minaj's. I would just love to be able to see that. Coretta Scott stood next to Martin, even though allegations of him cheating came out, because she was that good of a woman to try to make it and fix it and work at it. We don't work at it like grandma and grandpa did. We just rather get divorced and we ain't getting what we want and try to take the man for everything just because you got mad. I would like to see a little more initiative out of women of being more responsible for the actions and just playing the mad black woman card.
Wow. Well, see, you know, the way you think is not typical of the way the average young lady thinks, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. And like I told you yesterday, I'm really impressed with the way that you articulate and say things. And wow. I mean, right now you do have me speechless. You know, I'm in the chat room and some pretty good conversation going on in the chat room with Pianki. Hey, Pianki, your mic is open, man. So go on and start talking. My fingers getting tired typing.
It's more fun typing.
Whatever.
But you know, this is one of those problems that black society has to address the fact that there's so much unmarriageable material, both male and female, within their ethnic group. Coming down through the last few decades, there was decisions that was made that was turned down bad end streets that was done. Abortion is playing out. You know, when you abort 18 million babies over the period of 30 years, 1973 to 2005, a little bit long, 32 years, you know, that happens to take its toll. And then when you have black males being targeted, whereas they can't participate in the opportunities that would lead to them having access to the wealth that this country offers. You know, like we hear Eric in this community, you know, there's an issue with this federal-funded and state-funded bridge that spans the Mississippi that local black workers can't seem to be employed on it per their racial makeup in the community. Whereas outsiders come in who are white and are, you know, taking those jobs. So that leaves qualified, drug-tested, and trained workers standing on the sideline where they can't make money to feed their family, to have the basic things that they need to have, make a relationship successful. So it's a lot of things that that play into the situation, which is sort of the basis of the conversation that's been going on.
Hmm. Wow. Any comments?
I mean, I have an off-subject comment, but I do really like what you just said.
Well, go
I don't
ahead
think it's much you can follow up behind it.
I know, right? Oh, Lord have mercy.
I think a large problem is
I've been listening and eating at the same time, but I've been listening on the speaker, so there's kind of a delay here. But I heard what Bianchi was saying. I don't know if we've continued on with that discussion, but I wanted to ask Ms. Lewis, you were saying that you were a good woman and you agreed mainly with what Rich was saying and that women, to a large degree, have been acting irresponsibly. What kind of characteristics do you want to see in a man that would make him your boyfriend?
And where I am now, I'm really looking for someone that's in the same spiritual place I am, honestly.
Well, that shouldn't be
that's
too hard. You go to
main
church.
Hmm. Yes. I'm actually trying to get ordained sometime soon, within the next coming years.
Wow. Congratulations. Huh.
So, like I said, I'm just very, very, very particular.
So the men that go to church, what percentage of them do you think, you know, by the fact that they go to church, maybe you see them at some church affairs, what percentage of them do you think would probably turn out to be boyfriend material, spiritually, since they attend the same church as you?
I guess that would be a huge part. That is very important to me. But I can meet a man that doesn't actually go to church, but he has a willingness to learn.
Learn
what? He might
what?
Not be going to church to be more in touch. I guess I have to be more in touch or with the same, like Baptist or whatever, not whatnot.
In other words, he has to be as much in depth with your religion as you are.
Okay, say that again?
He has to have as much insight and be as much in depth with your religion as you are.
If he doesn't have as much, at least be willing to learn.
Okay.
You know, you can find a lot of men that don't go to church that are wandering but want to learn of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to work with that.
Okay. Well, you know, there are dating sites that you can put your profile on. You can have a website that people can go to.
there's a myriad of things that you can do. I'm just going to go back to eating now and listen.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It was a comment I wanted to make before we got into this particular conversation.
Uh-huh.
I think a funny thing is most black women were raised in single female homes, and they themselves grew up listening to all the flaws their mom said is wrong with the man. Men cheat, men lie, men ain't no good. This man ain't crap, your daddy wasn't crap. And a woman, a young lady grows up into a woman and have heard these things for so many years, she herself believes these to be true. So she's already coming out the gate damaged mentally. And she comes out the gate emotionally damaged because maybe her father wasn't there. And I hate that women make their boyfriends be their healer to fix the quote-unquote problem that they have had, when really it's not his job to heal you. I think women have seen, younger women have seen older women belittle men, talk about them and say all these things to their face and go off on them in such a term, to such a way that they themselves think it's okay, think it's right. They don't know no better because they was never taught any better. And before I go, I just want to be able to say I think that that's got to stop from the top to the bottom. Reform got to come. Or, you know, we'll see black women really not be marriage material.
Okay. So what you're saying is it doesn't help that they have baggage that's coming from childhood, from things they've seen in their home.
Right, they came from her baggage.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you know what, black males, black women's male children should be taken away from them and raised in schools like Piney Woods down there in Mississippi, which is all African American black school. I think it's all for males, where they can be taught to be a man, because the way it's going now is not getting any better. You know, I coach Little League baseball in the inner city, and I see it all the time. These young boys are feminized, and it's just it's a shame. Well, they feminize when they come to us, but when they leave, they're not. And I've had women, I was sitting in a barbershop, Eric, about 2 weeks ago, and a young lady brought her boys in, and she had one boy was 8. And she asked, of course she knew the barber, but she asked two of them, and I got in a conversation, would they work with her, son, because she can't seem to handle him.
Uh-huh.
And that's not the first time, you know, I've recognized women with those type of issues and making those a very same type of pleas.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I've been reading up on that, and there is, even though it's not well known, there is a movement actually to start, you know, schools where you take them and you know, only males, and you know, it used to be schools like that where you had certain schools where there was only males allowed to go and females allowed to go, and that was it. They were separated, and there is I've been reading, and there is a movement to get back to that. So maybe that would help a little bit. You know, the bridge the gap. But that's interesting.
Right, and the school should be all black male schools. This old myth about that there's no learning that comes out of that particular type of population is totally crazy. You know, there's too many instances of that. But the one thing is that they can be taught. They can be taught people of their like kind, get back to the way it should be done. You know, in African society, that newborn baby was given to the grandfather. It wasn't given to the father for the simple reason. And another thing, when that baby was in the womb, there was communication going on with the baby in the womb and also the grandfather and in some societies the what they call a priest. And that child was coming to fulfill a destiny. He's put with the newborn male is put with the grandfather because the newborn male had just came from where the grandfather's about ready to go.
Wow.
And also the grandfather is the greater volume as far as education, intelligence, than the father is at that point in life. So when the male reaches adolescence, then they turn over to the daddy, the father.
Right, because I guess the grandfather represents the wisdom and the knowledge that has been given, passed down. So that makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I spend very much time with my grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way it's going to be. I spent time with my grandfather. The father don't know as much as the grandfather. There's no way possible if things in the community are working the way they were designed to work. Now, when you break that change, you may end up with anything.
Oh, yeah, that is very true. So true. You know, I got something in the chat room. A-Nav says, I just read an article that when boys are raised in a single household with their woman, the boys have a tendency to pick up the traits of the mother. Well, I mean, that's not hard to understand why. I mean, he's only surrounded by women.
Well, that happens, too, when you take it. You know, they've done an experiment with a baby elephant. They took the baby elephant from the male. I forget the term, and they put him with the cows. And he act like a female elephant as he was coming up. So, you know, if it works that way, you know, they took a dog, they took a black dog, a black sheep dog, and put him out of his litter and put him with the sheep, where he suckled off the mother sheep's tits along with the other sheep. And when he grew up, when his brothers or sister tried to come near the herd of sheep, he would attack them.
So wow.
That lady needs to turn her radio down, too, the other lady. But that's just the way it is. There's some things you don't mess with. You know, I get a kick out of the United States. That's only 234 years old, how she goes around the world trying to dictate to other societies on their cultural and their social behavior. And people, other societies have been practicing certain things for thousands of years.
Well, yeah, you're right. Well, you know, that's part of what they call is where we think we the dominant. Well, I shouldn't even say we. They think they the dominant race, you know. I hate to say race, but basically that's what it is. They're the dominant individuals running around, so they feel like they can dictate what goes on because they have all the resources, right? And that's basically what it comes down to: wealth and resources, right? I mean, that's put it on out there. But you know what? It's been a really, really great conversation, y'all. I think we've learned a lot. I hope y'all learned a lot, because I know I've been taking notes like crazy. And, you know, and basically, it comes down to this. You know, as it was mentioned way earlier throughout the show, you know, basically, you get what you choose. And that's on both parts, men and women. You know, you get what you choose. You really do. You know, and why do we find it hard? Because, like you say, nobody wants to be bothered with the drama. And, yes, you know, black women are known for bringing drama. And even y'all, sometimes y'all even advertise the drama that y'all going to bring. We don't take that and blah, 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 blah. You know, yeah, I know some of y'all say, well, men do it too. Yeah, you're right. Men bring a little drama too. But I don't think it is advertised as the black female does. But it's okay. It's okay. We
hey,
don't
Eric,
know this.
Just quickly, is my mic open?
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah, I just want to point out the irregularity there. I know we have to be I know we try to be politically correct, but men don't get what they choose. Men get the leftovers. If women are unilaterally making the decision as to which men they accept, that by logic, that automatically excludes especially quality men from having a role. And see, this is why I was telling Miss Lewis earlier, she needs to give herself more of an opportunity, and other women like her, and I'm going to call her a quality woman, They need to give themselves the experience of interacting with men. And when you do that, you open up a whole other vista of opportunity that's generally closed. So men generally settle and accept the leftover women who they can be with. And that's the reason that a lot of relationships don't work, is because you get the wrong people paired up in the first place. So two things we've got to do is communicate with women effectively and vis-a-vis truth, because they don't hear it. You heard Ms. Lewis say earlier she had never been conversed with like that before. And what we have to do is say to women, you've got to open up the opportunities in terms of you initiating introductory contact with men and being more receptive with the men who interact with you. But particularly, you're the other half of the equation that makes the equation work. So that's what I would say. And again, men generally have to accept the leftovers or have no woman at all. That's the reason there's a higher singleness rate currently than ever in American history, is because women, there's an imbalance of power. Women have all the power, legally and socially.
All right. Well, y'all know what? I'm not going any further than that. Mr. Solution has said it very well, and I'm leaving it right there. I am leaving it right there. Once again, I want to thank y'all for listening to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I love y'all all, man, because y'all really teach me something on a daily basis, you know. And I hope y'all are learning things as we go along. You know, it just helps the show get better, and it just broadens our knowledge base as well. So keep joining me, man. We're gonna be doing some educating here with the help of Mr. Solution, myself, Pianki, Joe, Ms. Lewis, whoever else want to join in. Hey, it's all about learning and getting it off your chest. Speaking of getting off your chest, tomorrow, there is no topic tomorrow, y'all. I think tomorrow is going to be Open Mic Thursday, because that's the way I'm feeling right now. Whatever's on your mind, that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. You know, that makes it a whole world to talk about. I like that. Anyway. Once again, that's it for me today, y'all. Thank you for joining, Mr. Solution. As always, thanks for the information. I love you, man. You too, Mr. Solution. Joe, Pianki, Ms. Lewis, once again, thank you for a great conversation. And y'all see how nice and easy that conversation went today? Wow, it's amazing what happens when we talk to each other and not at each other, right? Right. Anyway, until tomorrow, y'all have fun. Y'all see y'all here tomorrow at 2 p.m., Central Standard Time. Until then, I'm out.